given us that. Amen. Well, I want you to take your Bibles with us now just for a little bit, if you would. Look with me in the book of Galatians. We're going to go to the book of Galatians and see if I can get all my switches turned on here, Brother Jonathan.
But if you look in the book of Galatians, look, I'm sorry, I said Galatians. I'm Philippians is where I'm at. Sorry about that. Just checking, giving you a little Bible drill, okay? Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Probably something we're all familiar with, something that we have read and studied, and you probably heard me preach on it about the idea of Paul and what he used to be, who he used to be, and what God's done for him and how God has changed him. And, you know, that's everybody's got that story. I would say all of us have had it or should. And if you're saved, you've got that story of what you used to be. Now, of course, everybody's story is different. Sometimes I think you and I believe that we have to have these dramatic and just big stories about having a changed life from, a life of being a drug addict and a drunkard and a thief and criminal of some kind. No, God saves people in different ways and as far as types of lives and different areas they're in, but it still takes the same grace of God to save anybody, right? It takes the same grace to save a child as it does the old hardened heart of a wretched man that has gotten out in the world, been in many things. But Paul describes his life and his change, and you think Paul was a religious his life, amen. That just folks can be lost. Paul a climbing and rising, if you'd say, star in the Pharisees' religion, and influential and a lot of folks looking at him, but he still needs, amen, no matter where you are, hey, until Christ comes in, you're still a wretched sinner until. Look with me in chapter 3 then of Philippians, verse number 1. Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. The same thing to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrews, touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things I counted, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening. Thank you again for your word and for the things that are said. Just be a blessing in this and just bless our thoughts tonight. Give us some wisdom and some understanding and some instruction in the Word of God. Just bless us as we just look and hear and understand a little bit about this life and about our lives and the things that you want from us. And we'll praise you for everything you do now. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to ask you this question as we think about these few verses as what Paul is saying. I want to ask you this question of where do you want to be found? Where do you want to be found? Notice with me, if you will, there in verse number 9, Paul is talking about his life, and he says about winning Christ in verse number 8. He said, and be found in him. I want to be found in him, Paul says. I mean, that's Paul's aim, that's Paul's goal, that's Paul's desire. That is Paul at the very essence of his thinking, is he said, I want to be found in Jesus. Amen? I want to be found in him. And I believe that would be a good statement and a good thing for me and you to be able to say tonight, is that we want to be found in him. I do. I want to be found in Christ Jesus. I want to be found doing his work. I want to be found in the middle of his will. I want to be found doing something to help the kingdom of God. I just want to be found in him. Amen? And I believe, as I say, that's what Paul is saying in these writings. So look with me, if you will, at that, just maybe three things as we consider these few verses tonight. And as I said, when you begin reading this, Paul starts out and he is, first of all, Paul is a preacher, isn't he? You see what he says there in chapter number 3? Finally, my brethren. Yeah, I don't believe that. Go on, and there's chapter number 4. Amen? I mean, that's finally, but, well, in a little while, we'll get there, right? But he begins to close his thought, really. He's closing the thought that he has as he's writing this book. And he is writing this letter to this church at Philippi. And he's saying, look, there are some things that I just need to tell you and remind you of, because it's not that I just want to be repetitive, but he said it's safe for you. He said, it's hear me say this and writing the same things. He said it's not to be grievous, not to grieve you, but it's to help you. And he tells them, beware of, he mentions dogs and the evil workers and the concision. He's talking about those that are opposing him and the doctrine of grace and the things that Paul has preached and tried to establish that church with to give them a foundation. He said, just beware of those that would come in and do some of the opposite, or say, don't pay any attention to Paul and all the things that he says. He says in verse number 3, he says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So the first thing I want you to notice about where do you want to be found in him? First of all, let me say this. You want to be found not confident in your flesh. That's the first thing I want to say. You don't want to be found being confident in your flesh. I mean, as a matter of fact, but that's what Paul says. He said, we are the circumcision. He said, we're the real, true circumcision, not that which is made in the flesh, but he's talking about spiritually, which worship God in spirit, in the spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus. We are those that have no confidence in the flesh. Amen? I mean, you and I, if we're not careful, we'll begin to have a little confidence in our flesh. Oh, well, you know, I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm able, I'm smart, I can figure this out, I can do these things myself, and I just don't need the Lord. God help us when we get to thinking like that. But can I tell you, there's probably a lot of folks in the church world that are thinking like that. They think, well, we'll just do it, you know, our way. We'll do our thing our way. But here Paul says, look, don't have any confidence in the flesh. And the reason he says that, or as he continues in that thought, he says in verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. He said, if you think that you have confidence in your flesh, he said, I am a prime example of somebody that might have confidence in their flesh. Look what he says there first about in verses 4 through 6. He talks about trusting in your flesh. He says, I might be one of those. He said, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Well, how is that, Paul? He said, well, listen to who I am. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. He said, look, y'all look at my raising, amen? Y'all just look at who raised me. You look at my heritage, where I came from, and I think I've got something to brag about. In other words, the Jewish people had the superiority, if you will, of the things of God in the Old Testament, God's promises, God's word, and God's people all related to the Jewish man, woman, boy, and girl. And Paul said, hey, y'all look at me. I'm a man that's a Hebrew man. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day. I was of the stock of Israel. You know, there's a lot of folks that look at you in this world and say, well, you know who my people are, who my parents are, who my heritage is. Do you know what line of people that I came from? Can I tell you, it doesn't have you any advantage as far as being saved or lost. I mean, there's no advantage to that. It's probably nice to have some advantage in this life as far as a name or a title or an amount of money that's attached to that, or an education that's attached to it, or a society place that may be attached. But it doesn't count anything with God. Amen? The Lord that can save a rich person or a lost person. The Lord can save somebody that has titles and degrees or somebody that's never spent very much time in an educational system. The Lord doesn't look at such things. And Paul said, boy, if anybody's leaning on their flesh, look at me. He said, look at how my raising was. But he says, not only look at my raising, he says, look at my religion. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, I was an Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said, I was, man, look, as touching the law, a Pharisee. I mean, look at my religious upbringing. And you know, there's a lot of folks that'll tell you that. There's many folks today that will tell you up in the northeastern part of the country, well, I went to the Catholic schools. Well, let me just tell you something. Because you went to a Catholic school, it don't make you a saved person. Amen? I mean, just because you went to a well-educated societal school somewhere, has a good name, a good hierarchy, I mean, it doesn't matter. That don't make you saved, and that don't make you anything in the sight of God. And if you're trusting in that, you're trusting in your flesh. Trusting in your religion. Oh, preacher, my family's a religious family. Well, big deal. You need to be saved by the same grace that got the rest of us. Amen? So you can't trust in your religion. Paul said, but if anybody thought they had something they could prop up with their flesh, I more so. Listen, he said, here's my background. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was concerning the religion of the day, if you will, the touching the law. He said, I was a Pharisee. So he talked about his raising, he talked about his religion, and he also talked about his righteous actions. Listen to what he said. He said, touching the law as a Pharisee, concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. He said, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. I was a perfect young man in the eyes of those of the religious world. I was a righteous man as far as concerning the law. The things of the law, I kept every bit of it, Paul said. But isn't that amazing? He said, I want to tell you something. There are folks that trust in their flesh, and when they're trusting in their flesh, they brag on the raising, they brag on the religion, they brag on their own righteousness. But none of those will get you into the presence of God in heaven except knowing Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to help you. But all of that won't. So what does he suggest that you do? Well, look there in verse number 7. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Instead of trusting in the flesh, you need to turn from your flesh. There's got to be a turning away from trusting in that fleshly man. He said, man, those things that were gained to me, every bit of those things that Paul had just named, they were a plus. They were a sign. I mean, they were the ticket, if you will. When you look at people today, I mean, that's the way we read people sometimes, isn't it? Well, do you know what family they're from? Well, do you see what kind of pedigree they got? Do you hear what kind of people are in their background and their head? Do you hear that? And we hear a lot of that, don't we? I mean, you'll hear them say that about maybe a celebrity in an entertainment industry, a sports star, it'd be a politician or whatever. They're connected. Do you know who they know? And do you know who they're related to? Do you know who's backing them? Do you know who's got their back on getting votes and all this? Hey, let me tell you something. People are all enamored over those crazy things, and brother, it carries no weight with God. If you're going to get saved, you got to turn from it. What does Paul say? Paul says this: those things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I had to turn from trusting in my flesh and all the accolades of my flesh. You got to turn from those things. If you're going to get anywhere in the way of God, you're going to have to get away from your flesh. The Bible tells us that flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. You got to turn from that. So, but look at verse number 8. Notice what he says. He says, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Amen? What's he saying? He's saying this: you got to be transformed from trusting in your flesh. You got to turn yourself away from that and say, I cannot. In verse number 7, I can't trust my... He said, those things that I thought I could trust in, I'm having to turn to them, and I want to be in Christ. If you're going to be found in him, you got to turn from that flesh, and now you got to be transformed from your flesh. Aren't you glad your Bible tells you? It says over in the book of Romans in chapter number 12, he says that I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? And this Paul said, look, I got transformed. He said, I count all things as a loss. Everything that was a positive, everything that was a prize, everything that was a look at Paul here in this, he said, every bit of that, I just counted that as loss. He says, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Look at that little phrase, the excellency of the knowledge. That word excellency has the idea of something that surpasses every other thing. It's something that's above. He said, to know Jesus, the excellency of the knowledge, to have a knowledge, to know Jesus is the highest thing you can have in this life. That's the best thing that you can come up with in this world, is that you know him. Amen? Boy, isn't that amazing that you know? Hey, can I tell you, the Bible will tell me and you about men throughout this Bible, and some of them probably looked impressive to the world. Others did not look impressive, but as long as you know God, that's what matters with him. Amen? If you'll look at the book of Acts and talk about Peter and John. You remember when they went and stood before the Sanhedrin, and as they're there before them in chapter number 4, it said that those men of the Sanhedrin court, those that were looking at them, they were looking down on them, and they asked them when they had healed that man that was there at the gate called Beautiful in chapter number 3. They saw him healed, and they asked them, they said, by what authority, by what power do you have to do these things that you did? And Peter said, let me tell you, the only thing we got is the name of Jesus. He said, it's by the name of Jesus that this man stands here before you whole. He said, for there is none other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved, at the name of Jesus. And it said they stood there, they looked at him, and it said they took knowledge of them, and they saw that they were ignorant and unlearned men. What they mean by that, that word ignorant means they don't know what we know. They hadn't been to the schools that we've been to. They haven't sat at the feet of the rabbis that we have. But it said they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Amen? Can I tell you, that's the biggest thing in the world that's going to count for me and for you, is to let folks know that we have been transformed. Our minds have been changed. We know Christ Jesus. And that's what Paul says. He said, I count all that stuff as just a loss. Amen? You ever had to do that with some things in your life? Sometimes there'll be some friends that you thought you wanted to hang out with. When it comes to knowing Jesus, you may have to lose some friends. Let me tell you, sometimes you may have to lose some family because they're not going to stand where you stand on the ideas and the things of Christ. You may have to lose your job because of your stand for Christ. I was reading something today about a lady that was an influential person in a political group, and she began to read over some of the stuff that this political group stood for. And she said, I don't believe that, and I cannot back that. And they said, well, you need to get with the program, lady. And she says, you know what? I quit. And they said, well, what are you going? We need you. We would like for you to stay with. She said, I can't stand and believe what you believe, and I've got to go with what the Word of God says. Amen? And I'm going, and you know what? They said, well, you'll be put out. You won't have any position or place or blah, blah, blah. She said, okay by me, amen. I'm just going to stay true to what God has to say, amen. And that's the way that you and I should live. Hey, we might have to have some losses. Go ahead, count your losses, cut them, and get gone, and do something for God, amen. I mean, as I say, you think about this. Paul, according to his flesh, could have went way on up in the Pharisees. Could have been thinking of official in the Pharisees' religious order, maybe even in the Sanhedrin court of Israel. But you know what he said? He said, I count every bit of that as loss so that I may have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Listen to what he said. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He said, I lost it all. Amen. Boy, I told somebody here the other day, I'd like to preach on this thought and preach the day Paul lost his religion. Amen. Right here, he lost his religion. He said, if that's what y'all believe, I'm out of that. And I found, he lost his religion, but he found salvation in Jesus that day, didn't he? Amen. He said, I suffered the loss of all things. He said, I count them but dung. They're a refuge. They're the off scouring. He said, it ain't nothing to me. He said, so that I may win Christ. Amen. So I just want you to see that. You cannot, and we should not, have any confidence in this flesh. No confidence. If you want to be found in him, first of all, you'll find that you have no confidence in the flesh. Second of all, you'll find that you are now contented in your faith in Christ Jesus. You'll be contented in your faith. I want you to notice here in verses number 8 and 9, he said, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, do count them but dung that I may be Christ, I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. What does he say? You've got to be contented in your faith. I want you to see this. First of all, you see Paul and his position. You see Paul and his position. What position is that? Well, he says, I want y'all to know, here's the Lord and here's me, and there's nothing between us. There's not a thing that I'm putting between him and me. Not a thing. And brother, that's got to be me and you. There's nothing between us. It's you and him with clear reception, with clear recognition, with a clear communication. I mean, you've got to stand and have a clear gap between you and God. I mean, nothing in there. Amen. You know what? Some people have put money. Some people have put pride. Some people have put possessions. Some people have put some kind of stuff in between them and God. And it's wrong. Paul said, I want y'all to know I've lost it all. I give it up. I quit on that stuff. And I want to win Christ Jesus. His position was that he wanted to he said that I may win Christ in the end of verse number 8. He said, and be found in him. That was the realm that Paul wanted to live in. I want to live close to my Lord. Amen. That was his position. I want to be close to the Lord Jesus. But not only you see his position, you see his possession. Listen to what he says. He says, verse number 9, not having mine own righteousness. Not having my own righteousness. He said, which is of the law. Oh, listen. Some of the most holy sounding people you'll ever run into are those that will tell you. Amen. You remember, y'all remember this? Some of you got to be older probably to remember this. Like me, got to be this old. I don't smoke. And I don't chew, and I don't date girls who do. Amen? Huh? Somebody said, preach that, preacher. Amen. Well, I'm just telling you. Right? I mean, isn't that our self-righteousness? Well, I don't do this, and I don't do that. And remember, Jesus said, you think about that little story of the Pharisee and the publican on the street corner, and that Pharisee who looked up to heaven, and he said, and prayed thus with himself. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men, and I give my tithes, and I go to the temple, and I do blah, 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 blah. And his tongue just ran on of all he did. And the Lord said, but the publican, the poor publican looked around, and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he smote himself on the breast, and he wouldn't even lift up his head to heaven. He bowed down to the earth. And Jesus said, I'll tell you, that man went away from that meeting righteous rather than the other. Amen? And Paul said, look, my righteousness, which is after the law. Oh, listen, you can start getting your little book out, start making check marks. Well, guess what today? I didn't say anything. I didn't do this, and I didn't, you know, get your little book out and make check marks. Amen? Amen. A lot of us ought to do that. I do that. Well, Lord, so far today, I hadn't said a bad word. I hadn't had an evil thought. I hadn't done anything wrong. But I'm about to get out of bed, so it could change right now. Amen. Huh? I mean, that's the way we are. Isn't that right? We liable to have some messes once we get up. Hey, I'm telling you, that's our own self-righteousness. And Paul said, I don't want my own righteousness. I do not possess anything within me to have my own righteousness. He said, which is through the law, which is of the law. I don't want that. I can't have it. My possession is not that. But listen to what he says that his possession really is and the person that he's trusting in. He said, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. My righteousness is found in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the only righteousness I've got. That's the only righteousness I've got. Can I tell you, boy, the only sin somebody said that Jesus ever had was mine, and the only righteousness I'll ever have is his. And that's it. That's where we get all of those things that we have. It's because of him. And Paul said, look, I've got a person. I've got somebody that can help me be contented because my faith is in this person. And that person is Christ Jesus, my Lord. And he gives me the righteousness of him to put onto my account. I told y'all that this morning. That little word is that little theological word is imputation. It is imputed righteousness. It's been given to you, but it don't really belong to you. It came from him, and he has freely put it into your bank account, if you will. Amen. All right, so let's look at one last thing. If you're gonna be found in him, you don't need to be confident in your flesh. You need to now be contented in your faith. But you also needed concentration on the things of your future. You need to consider some things that are going to be happening in your life and what you're going to do. Well, listen to what Paul says in verse number 10. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul says, look, if I'm going to get this, have this concentration on the things of the future, I need that concentration on my life as I'm going down here looking toward the future. He said, first of all, there needs to be some spiritual growth in my life. Do you know you need to have some spiritual growth in your life? I've seen people sit in Baptist churches and they never grew a bit in the Lord. They just thought the same thing they thought the day they got saved. I think about this a long time ago when I was a teenager. Our pastor came in one day. Brother Larry Underwood was our pastor. And he came in, had his coat on, and I noticed the pockets seemed kind of poochy, you know, the each side of his coat pocket. And it was making a noise. You know how stuff kind of makes a little rattly noise, like with plastic, something's plastic, and it's that kind of. And I went up and I said, Brother Larry, what's in your pocket of your coat? He reached down and pulled it out. It was a pacifier. And I said, He said, there's a lot of folks need one of these in the Baptist church. Amen. We got a bunch of babies sometimes in the Baptist church because they want to cry and whine and get all tore up and all that. Rather than grow any, they're satisfied to sit there and have them that little pacifier. Give me a pacifier, preacher. I don't want to learn nothing. I don't want to grow. I want to stay like a big old baby. Whack. That's the way we get sometimes. Amen? And that's the way we find people sometimes. But we need to have some spiritual growth. Paul said this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He said, I need to know him and the power of his resurrection. You and I need that resurrection power every day. If you're going to grow any, you need to have the resurrecting power of Jesus active in your life. Amen? I mean, something's got to be there to help you. Because guess what? When you get outside these doors, when you wake up on Monday morning, when you go to your job, you go to your school, you go to your community, there's going to be something out there that will be in direct opposition to your standing in the Lord. There's something going to hurt your feelings. There's something going to come against you. There's something going to slap you in the face. And it ain't out there really hug your neck. We appreciate you. We love you. And everything's good. No. There are some people out there that just absolutely despise anyone that names the name of Christ. And Paul said, I just want to know him. And I want to know about this power that there is in this this resurrection that Jesus had. And can I tell you, the same power that raised Jesus up from the dead, brother, it's the same power that works inside of me and you. It's that same Holy Spirit that abides on the inside of a saved person. It is the same thing that is going to help me and you in our spiritual growth. I mean, we need to have it for our daily living. And listen, you need the power of God on your life. Amen? You know, I've told you several times, people said, preacher, you need the power of God to go to heaven. Well, can I tell you, I need the power of God to go to Walmart. Amen? Don't y'all? Huh? I mean, just get out here, walk around amongst them sometimes. Amen? Oh, the brother Adrian Rogers used to have this little poem that he said, oh, to dwell above with those we love. Oh, yes, that will be glory. But to live below with those we know, well, that's another story. Amen? And that's pretty much the truth. When you get around people, some of them get to aggravate us, don't they? Somebody say amen right there. Yeah, they do. But we need to grow spiritually. And to grow spiritually, Paul said, I need that resurrecting power. I need the power of his resurrection. And he said, I just got to have something in my life that's going to help me. So that's going to help us spiritually grow. But not only that, you need something to help you spiritually grow. You need something that we'll call the sufficiency of His grace. The sufficiency of His grace. You remember what Paul said over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12? He's talking about there was given to him a thorn in his flesh. And he said it was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. And he said, and I prayed three times, three different seasons, I would say, of prayer, and asked God to remove that thorn. And God didn't do it. God didn't do it. And you know, he got through praying, and I'm sure he's like me and you. Well, God, what's going on here? Why aren't you answering this prayer? And God began to whisper to him, and he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, my power. He said, your strength will be there when you're in your weakness. My power will be demonstrated through your life. And brother, I want to tell you, God's grace is still sufficient for me and you today. When you can't, He can. When you don't know how, thank God, I'm glad He does know how. Amen? The little song, I think it's that one that Brother Logan sings sometimes about, did I mention that I love Him? When I could find no way, He made a way. Amen? Isn't that good to know that sometimes you and I can't figure it out, but He already knows how to take care of any issues that may come between us and whatever may be there that we're facing. Amen? So there's got to be some sufficient grace. I mean, he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, therefore, I'll rather glory in my infirmities, for when I am weak, then am I strong. So you need that sufficient grace. If you're gonna be found in Him, you need some spiritual growth. You're going to be found in Him, you need some sufficient grace. And if you're going to be found in Him, you need some sustaining guidance in your life. Look here in verse number 12. Paul says, not as though I had already attained. He said, in verse number 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He said, I want to be like Jesus, and I want to be resurrected in the resurrection day from the dead. That's what I want. He said, now I want to tell y'all. He said, verse 12, not as though I had already attained. I haven't got there yet. My life is not so together that I've got there. That's what he's saying, right? And that's what you and I've got to realize. I ain't there yet. You know what some of it? Well, preacher, I've arrived. Yeah, well, let me just tell you, tomorrow's coming. We'll see how arrived you are then. Because you'll face a difficulty. You'll face trial. You'll face trouble. You'll face it, and then how are you going to do? Well, I thought I had that all figured out. Well, you don't, amen, because I don't. None of us do. But he said, look, not as though I'd already attained. We're already perfect. He said, but I follow after. I'm still chasing it. That I may apprehend that which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, I want to, and this is the best way I got of explaining it, that word apprehend means to get a hold of. You know, when they apprehend a criminal, they get a hold of him, right? They apprehended him. Well, Paul said, I want to get a hold of what's got a hold of me. Amen? And you and I need to have that same idea if we're going to grow and concentrate on having some spiritual growth and realize the sufficient grace, then we're going to have some sustaining guidance. The Lord's going to have to help us. Paul said, I ain't got there yet. He said, but I want to be apprehended for that which I want to apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended in Christ Jesus. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He said, I ain't got there yet, y'all, but let me tell you what I do. He said, I forget all that stuff in the past. Amen? There's a lot of folks here today that need to forget the past. We keep bringing up the past. Don't you remember when you did that? You remember when you failed? You remember when you tried and you didn't make it? You remember? Forget that stuff, Paul says. Put that in your rearview mirror. Paul said, I have tried to do it in the flesh. I have tried to do righteousness my own way through the law. I've tried all that. He said, I'm forgetting that. I'm putting that in the rearview mirror. And I don't have to worry about that. God's not going to bring it up to me and you anymore. God's forgiven you of those things. He said, I'm draw the line, and I'm putting those things behind me, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth, he said, unto those things which are before. He said, I press toward the prize, or the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm trying to get a hold of what got a hold of me. Amen? And that's what I think all of us should realize. I hadn't done it yet. I hadn't got there yet. I'm not perfect, nowhere near it. But you know what? We just keep on striving. We keep on pressing toward that mark. Keep on going. I know y'all can't tell this, but I used to run track in high school. Somebody say amen right there. Well, I used to anyway. And you would run. I ran distance type running. And in the mile, you ran on an oval track, right? You're running around. But when it came to the last lap, there's somebody over there that said, you know, that one of the officials or even sometimes your coach, last lap, get with it. Come on, dig, boy. You know, they're encouraging. This is your last lap. And you know what you do sometimes? And I did this a lot of times. There was people in front of me, and they were ahead of me. I might as well give up. I'm not going to win. But you know what comes on in you? I'm going to run anyway. I'm going to push. I'm going to press. I'm going to go as hard as I can go. And I'm going to beat my best time. I'm going to improve. I'm, you know, whatever you're thinking. But they may be somebody ahead of you. Brother, let me tell you something. Just keep running that race. You just keep pressing toward that mark. Because when you come around on that last lap and you see the home stretch and you know that it's just ahead is the finish line, keep pressing on. Amen. Paul said, I'm forgetting that stuff in the rearview mirror and I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Are you pressing toward that mark? Do you want to be found in Him? Is that where you want to be found? Are you content just to be mediocre and who cares and nothing matters and all that kind of stuff that we say to ourselves sometimes? Let's find ourselves wanting to be found in Christ Jesus. Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing a verse of a song if you would tonight. I press toward the mark of the prize, amen, of the high calling in Christ Jesus. It's a high calling, y'all. There's a calling that is there that says, hey, come and be found in Him. Is that where you want to be found? Let's stand, if you would, tonight while we get ready to sing a verse or two of a song.